This hour of the Overdrive podcast is brought to you by Felix. Embarrassed to talk about erectile dysfunction in person? Felix can connect you to a doctor online to assess ED and, if applicable, deliver treatment to your door. Visit felix.ca.
All right, this could be played for any number of reasons. Maybe it's because the Maple Leafs won again last night. Maybe it's because Noodles is back on the show. Or maybe it's because the Lou Brown Awards are back and will be handed out this afternoon at 5:30.
Yes.
And I just hit that number right on the nose. Did you hear that? I hit that right on the post. Right when it started to really jingle, I announced that the Lou Brown Awards are being handed out today at 5:30. And I feel very good about it. Old school radio guy.
Buddy, first of all, is your voice like, did you lose your voice forever or what's wrong with it?
I've had a cold for about a month.
Yeah,
I cannot lose it. And I don't know what else to tell you, man. My nose is all stuffed up and it's not.
Are you doing like a COVID test daily or something? You sound terrible.
It's because you got kids. Kids just are, you know, they walk in. They sneeze right in your face, and they keep walking like nothing.
I know what you need. You need the Hal Gill special, and do you know what that is?
No,
I don't. Bag truck.
Hal Gill, who I played with, every time somebody was sick, he would say, look, man, I know you've been trying some different meds and stuff. Get a tall glass and fill it with scotch and just down the whole thing, and I'm telling you, in the morning, it would be all better. That was the Hal Gill recipe, and he claimed it worked for everything. He's like, yeah, I was a little bit scratchy that yesterday. I scotched that much, drilled it down, and it was his recipe for everything.
I feel like Hal Gill had an excuse for every time. Like, you know what? Like, I need that. Like, not suggesting
he would
anything,
force
but,
himself
know,
into just, being sick. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Not feeling so well tonight. Got to get after it. I don't know if I have that in my future necessarily, but you're right, Noodles, my kids. It actually makes me feel somewhat normal because in the era of COVID, I didn't have any colds or flus or anything.
Me neither,
and,
man.
You know, I all of a sudden, my understanding is based on what I've been reading, like cold season's flying again and the flu is back. And like, yeah, just have a normal cold and I feel like garbage. This is great. Like no concerns about, you know, being an outcast or being ostracized from society or having to quarantine for 14 days, just your standard annoying cold. So, yeah, that's why I sound the way that I sound. And we had a pre-tape earlier this morning with Kurt Warner.
And when do we have something special cooking for you people later?
Yes, we do. Kurt is going to be on in about 2.5 hours. We've got Kurt Warner. And it got a little bit sideways there, but I went back. I was looking at myself because you always accuse me of looking at myself in the – in the talkback,
right,
or the feedback, or whatever you want to call it, the DeGiro, I guess.
Yeah, DeGiro.
Excuse me,
we got it to our right.
I didn't accuse you of that. A listener did. They said, why is Hazy B always looking at himself and doing the smize?
You know why, though? We should clarify some things, okay? Like, we're at home, and I think we for the most part, it's been somewhat seamless. I know there's been some, you know, bumps in the road or whatever, but when we're in studio, you know, the cameras are over there. We're kind of just set up. We look at each other. Well, for me, there's times where when I want to look at you guys in the eyes, like I've got to turn to the right. Like I've got a monitor here. I've got my computer here. And people, like, they're like, you're always on your phone. Well, we actually talk to each other on the phone when we're doing interviews and stuff. Like we've got a group text going, like, I'll do the next one, whatever. Like there's actually a process that goes on here. We're not just, you know, trying to wing
it. Like,
back, we do have a process, right?
And that's TV and radio, podcast, web, any way you happen to follow the show. The beauty of us being able to do this in 2021 is that we can all be at home. We all have access to information. And the expectation is that you're keeping up on things during the show. Like we're constantly, I'm reading things off my computer. I'm reading things off my phone. Where, you know, 20 years ago, you came in with a paper or two, and that was it. It was just go time. You put on the mic. You didn't know what the hell was going on in the world. You weren't paying attention to anyone else. You didn't have Twitter or Instagram where you were seeking out some sort of feedback or interaction with people. And
I don't know about you guys. I have a circle of 20 buddies who like feed me information. It was like, Who was that guy that got slashed 2 years ago in Tampa? Lights up 20 times. Oh, that was so-and-so. Or this guy also had this or whatever. And the same people that text me are the same ones that say, man, you're on your phone a lot. It's like, you're the one that's texting me. And then they'll say, hey, I love the backdrop or scratch your ear. Let me know you're there. And it's just like they're the ones that say, oh, you're always on your phone. It's like, well, don't text me then.
Not to mention the grappler is always feeding us information going rap. And then Mull's chimes in
Mull's
and goes,
in there too.
Oh, by the way, you really should rap. When I said 5 minutes ago, we've kept going. And then when Mull steps in, you know it's serious. Like the grappler.
Mull's
like,
was directing traffic this morning. Or grappler was directing traffic this morning, all right. It was seamless. It was dialed in, and we've got a doozy for you.
Yes, we do. Well, Kurt Warner, the movie's coming out, American Underdog, based on his life story. So we talk about that. It's really, I mean, everyone knows the story of Kurt Warner for the most part, being, you know, a grocery clerk, Arena League football, didn't really make it in the NFL until he's 28. Before you know it, the guy's winning MVPs and going to Super Bowls and best show on turf, and now he's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He's a great analyst on NFL Network and Westwood One. But it got a little bit dicey at times. And what I was getting to was we did it earlier this morning, and I looked like a pile of garbage. Like, I actually wore the same clothes I'm wearing now because I thought I should put on the shirt and jacket thinking that that is going to apply at 4:30 or 4 o'clock. Meanwhile, the other guy here, the O-Dog, I don't know what the hell you were wearing this morning, but it's not the same thing you're wearing right now. So I guess I probably could have avoided that. Maybe appearances weren't that big of a priority. But I was staring at myself this morning. I'm like, man, I look exhausted. I am exhausted. I was up all night. I was up early with my youngest because everyone's not feeling well and dealing with colds and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, we're here. It's all good. Noodles is back. We've got Kurt Warner at 6:30. We've got Damian Warner. It was just announced earlier today, the Canadian Athlete of the Year. Absolutely the right choice. First Canadian male to ever win the decathlon, sets a new Olympic record for points as a decathlete, and was the flag bearer for the closing ceremonies, I think was the face in the story for the most part of the Canadian Olympic Games with the women's soccer team, with Andre DeGrasse, Maggie McNeil. There were always great stories. There always is in an Olympic year.
Do you vote on that,
Hayes? Fully support it. No, I've never been invited to that. Everyone else on Earth, everyone else in media, I think Al's brother might have had a vote earlier today. But that's why we do the Lou Brown Awards.
Yeah.
Because the Lou Brown Awards, we can control and we can do whatever we want. So, no, but I know a lot of our friends were in there, and I got the impression like it wasn't a unanimous vote, but it was close to it. And Alphonso Davies got love. Connor McDavid got love. DeGrasse got love. But Damian Warner absolutely deserved it. And I think full credit to everyone that voted, and full credit to Damian Warner. He'll join us in about 20 minutes.
That's
awesome. I think it's a little rich for people. Just, I don't know what it is. It's like, this guy won, and that was my vote as well. It's like, no one says, he won, but I didn't vote for him. It's like almost nobody voted for anybody else. He won the award, and I also, that was my vote. It's like, did anyone not vote for this guy?
Well, you should be, you're right, you should be happy. And I actually, you know, the names you threw out there, Hayes, like, I think they're all deserving. It's just one person has to win. So it's great. It shouldn't be like, you know, it's not somebody completely off the board. Al's brother didn't win Canadian Athlete of the Year for that 40-meter sprint.
Yeah.
Although there could have been, maybe.
Probably should have been brought up. I mean, if this was a legitimate conversation being had, Al's brother, the hops, the 40-yard dash, the 200-meter, probably should have been in consideration, but that's an oversight. It happens to the best of us. It's all good.
But I think everyone who was nominated was deserving. So this shouldn't be, you know, to your point, a negative thing. Find a positive. You're right. Like, hey, I voted for him, or hey, I'm happy for him. I think that would be the difference. You read between the lines, it's like, I'm happy for him. Well, he may have been my second pick. I voted for him. Hey, it was my first pick.
I saw a couple of people say they voted for Andre DeGrasse, or, you know, there were a number of great athletes. There always is every single year. If you voted for Alphonso Davies, Connor McDavid just had a spectacular year.
Yep.
It's the one person in the room that votes, you know, that's so outside the box, and you're like, really? You know, like
the Jeter voter. The cheater voter trying
to
be a hero.
Yeah, the one person, you know, someone who played pool and won, you know, a pool player won the world record. It's like, no, the pool player or snooker player isn't beating Damian Warr. Like, I get it. You're trying to be different and original, but stop it. You're wasting people's
time.
Watch
out. You're going to get inundated with a bunch of snooker. There is some, like, Canadian champion out there that is taking offense to that. Right. There is probably the greatest snooker player that's from Canada.
Some of my earliest memories of watching TSN was when they would show snooker. Remember, like, because they'd always be in suits or like even tuxedos.
Black tie,
black tie snooker. And I'm like, what are these guys doing? I didn't understand the rules, but
that is the greatest thing, though. Should there be a dress code for every sport? Like snooker, they're wearing a shirt and tie. Like it's a flat out tuxedo to play. Usually, you play snooker in a pair of jeans and a T-shirt, and you're half cut because you're doing it at the bar or you're doing it in somebody's basement that has a billiard board or whatever you call it, pool table.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, no. Like, the idea of them wearing suits, it's so unnecessary. Because if you watch darts, these guys are the best. Like, dart players are the best. No one's in shape. They're all wearing T-shirts, jeans, mullets, tats everywhere. Stashes, you know, and they're just throwing darts. And you get, like, 10,000-15,000 people. In Europe, it's big. Like in the UK, the dart scene is like a significant sporting event.
Crazy.
The dart scene.
They really support darts over there. And I would probably guess that the best dart players in the UK probably would come
up. How do you advance in darts, though? Like, are you just going from pub to pub?
You're
and then,
scouting. Like, who
like,
scouts
are
you?
Are you just crushing people at pubs and then you're in the pros? Or like,
I guess. Yeah, like, what's the East Coast Hockey League of darts?
That
like,
is that a just grungy bar, boy.
Like, grubbiest pubs in small town Scotland, you know, in Aberdeen. You got to go to Aberdeen and pick fights and throw darts. And if you survive, you can move up.
I'm not lying. I went for a beer, I think, with MJ, obviously long before COVID. So let's say 4 or 5 years ago. And I feel like it was on your old area, Hayes, like Eglinton or something. Mm-hmm. And there was like a Gabby's, but next door to it was the tiniest little darts bar.
I know
and
exactly
for some
what
reason,
you're talking about.
I went in there, and the hockey game was on the screen. I sat, had a beer waiting for MJ, and people were looking at me like I didn't belong. Like, it was like, what are you doing in here? You're watching the hockey game. We're having a serious game of darts over here. And I had to walk through to go to the bathroom. I had to wait while the guy, like,
You can't disturb him. He is in the zone. I know exactly
the guy had a beer in
about.
His hand, and he's in the zone. I mean, like,
as
it was. You know exactly what place. I can't remember
the name. Oh yeah,
it's
on
the
south side of Eglinton. It's east of Yonge. I know exactly where it is.
So gritty, like that place for sure. Like a grit grinder. That is the maybe East Coast League / AHL of darts.
Absolutely.
For sure.
There's about four people that keep the lights on at that place. Yeah. The regulars roll in there. Occasionally, a random person will show up. They're not welcomed. They have one drink and then they go to Gabby's. And that's essentially the way it works. So Damian Warner will join us in about 10 minutes. The Leafs with another impressive win last night. I don't know why Sheldon Keefe was so disappointed after the game.
I think it got a little scrappy and ugly and maybe trying for empty nets at the end. I'm sure he was just a little pissed right after the game, but you never critique a win too much. It was just got a little greasy where it went from a laugher to not a laugher to a laugher to, like, thank God there's only 0.5 seconds left when Tony scored.
I think that. I think, if anything, the only reason the coach could be not upset's the wrong word. You won, so move on. But I think what happens is he's looking at the big picture where he doesn't want his team to get complacent. You're up 5-1, and I thought they were fine. They had the game in the bag, but you take your foot off the gas. And all of a sudden, honestly, you want my opinion from a goaltender's perspective, like, Jack Campbell can't be happy the couple greasy ones at the end.
Right.
All that does is mess with your numbers.
Yeah.
Because, you know, now they win 8-3 against Colorado. Well, you allow 3. Now you've allowed 4. And you know, it doesn't matter. You're still winning. But what happens is if you have 1 or 2 off games, you start to go, well, this guy's allowed a lot of goals lately. Or this has happened. You know, the team's allowed a lot of goals. Like, that's all I could think about. And it, you know, it just messes with your numbers where it doesn't have to. That's me speaking selfishly for Jack Campbell. That's
and
all.
Jamie, it's what
but I was
coach,
thinking.
It's ammunition for the coach.
Right.
Because he can take it back, because if they lose a game down the road, he can start it as a like a an example saying, if you go back to the game against Columbus, and it's just he'll detail, we've been getting away with stuff out there, and we've been right. winning games where we really shouldn't have been. And it's just it's bulletin board material for coaches is what it is.
Well, I'll go a step further. Dave Tippett had that speech the other night when Edmonton lost. He said, we've been creeping into an area where it's complacency, we're not working as hard, getting away from details. You know, it's a good message for our group that it's hard to win every night. And they've lost three in a row now, so they've got to find a way to get that game that they like back. And I think Sheldon's probably saying, hey, we're fine here, but... You know, let's button it down. 5-1 doesn't need to be 5-4. Put it that
right.
way.
I think that's probably what let's not forget who's coming into town tomorrow night. It's
right.
Tampa, and
right.
you better make sure that you don't let it get away from you. But yeah. I thought they had a great first period.
Sure.
Great first period. They're up 3-0. They outshot them. I thought they dominated play.
Outplayed them, yeah.
And, again, they're 16-2-2 in the last 20 games. And Joe from the Bridge just put up the boards. Like, through 27 games, they have the same – standings and the exact same record as they did a year ago. And this year, I think there's been more trials and tribulations in terms of who you've been playing, the travel, injuries. Obviously, Freddie Anderson's not here. You're dealing with uncharted territory now with Jack Campbell being the man. And there it is up on TSN4. I think that's very impressive. You know, I think it's impressive that the Leafs just continued to plug along here. And it's not going to get any easier because Sheldon Keefe also said after the game last night he thinks his team looked tired, and I think they likely are. They've played as many, if not more, games than any team in the league. They're going again tomorrow. Then they go on Saturday, and then they go out to Western Canada, and they got four more games on the road, including one in Seattle for the first time. So they got a lot of games coming up here. They've played a lot of games.
And you just mentioned, like – maybe this is their time, unfortunately, for adversity. All of a sudden, Mitch Marner's not available. Jason Spezza's not available to you. And I know, you know, we're going to get
into that. What did you think of the six games?
I thought it was rich. I didn't think, you know, I understand, and I always try and be in the middle and under, like, and go, if that was TJ Brody being kneed by Adam Lowry, what's the reaction on that side? You know, like, I thought the number was rich. Like, I, in my mind, for some reason, I kept thinking three. I don't know why. I just kept thinking maybe three games.
I said three or four.
Three or four. I don't know how they came to the number six, but it just, I thought it was slightly rich. I understand that's a play that you're trying to get out of the game, regardless if that's Neil Pionk. And, like, I understand the passion of the fans going, well, look what he did. Doesn't matter. You got to look at that act. And then look at Pionk's act, look at everyone else's act in a separate instance. And it's tough to do because all I can think about is Nazem Kadri getting those back-to-back suspensions. And people are like, well, look what Wingles did to Marner. And look what
you think the market had anything to do with it? I mean, if that's Morgan Geekie in Seattle, there'd be hardly any attention on it. I don't know. It just seems like the hockey world was watching. It was like... In Toronto.
The conspiracy theorist in me, and you're not the first Leaf fan to bring that up to me.
I think a market has something to do with it, man.
There's also this perception that the league is in Toronto and the home base, and when they're reviewing goals, they
got
to
make everybody know that we're not pro-Toronto.
We're not, exactly. And if anything, we're going to go the other way. Listen, it was a suspendable play. It was a bad play. I think he deserved three or four games. I said yesterday I thought anywhere between three or six. So I can't say I'm shocked it was six. It's not as if they handed out 10 or 15 games. But clearly one of the points that the Leafs were trying to make was it's Jason Spezza, look at his history, look at his reputation.
Right.
And I would argue six games is being handed out to any Leaf. And I don't think Jason Spezza got any discount because of his history. Like,
well,
he got every single game possible based on the play on who he is.
What's weird is, I don't know how you feel. Like, did you guys see Jonas's tweet where it's like, this is what they argued? Like, okay. Like, you can argue till you're blue in the face.
No
like,
kidding.
One of them was like, he's eligible to get hit. Well, yeah, you still have to hit him not with a knee in the head.
You have to lie on the ice and slide into him to make that illegal hit if he's eligible
honestly,
to be hit.
Honestly, and I'm not making light of it because, you know, this is it's a big suspension. I thought it was longer than I thought it would be, but ultimately it was a suspendable play. But the argument, the team's going to argue a lot of different things. But ultimately, I think you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. Because what have people been talking about? The league is too soft on certain things. You do, and then all of a sudden, you know, when it's heavy, it's like, whoa, hold on a second.
Oh yeah, of course,
it's heavy. So
and Gray's always said, Noodles, it's like if you want to make a statement and suspend a guy and let people know that in the future they can't do it, then you got to be a little stiffer as opposed to not. And
which is
when
fair,
you do that, and I brought up the John Tavares situation last night, where it's like that was by accident. And he was a mess out there. Like, he was banged up bad. He was knocked out. Hospital. That could have happened to Pionk very easily, and it could have been real ugly. Because you just don't know what the hell can happen in that situation. So, I don't know. They got to dig in and move on from it, though. It's amazing. And what other market would there be that much, like, as much as we love Spets?
He's on the fourth line.
Exactly. It's like they got to move on and find a way to win games.
But the thing is Izzy been on the fourth line? He's actually been playing.
No, I know. He's been on the power play. He's an important guy, leadership and everything, but they got to dig in and move on from it.
And getting back to my point is they're winning, but this is a little chunk of adversity here for this group because, you know, Spezza is a leader in that room. Mitch Marner is an elite player. You know, he's not available to. Rasmus Sandin was settling in as a really nice player on the back end who gave you second power play minutes. You know, there's as we looked around the league, that teams have had COVID, they have injuries, all of that stuff. The Leafs are getting a layer of adversity here. They've got to find a way to not have it. Because guess what? The team they're playing tomorrow is missing Kucherov and Point.
And those exactly. Tampa and, listen, the Leafs I think are aware of that. I don't think they've made any excuses publicly.
No,
last night
all.
Would suggest that they're prepared for the challenge. And if you do run into a bit of a speed bump, that's why going 16-2-2 over 20 games is so beneficial because you've banked so many points. So you've afforded yourself a little bit of a speed bump here. But if you want to be legit and you want to chase the top seed, President's Trophy, or continue to just have positive vibes, that speed bump's got to be a minor one. It can't be a major one.
Correct.
Because then, obviously, the room temperature changes and the mood in the city and the room, et cetera, can adjust with that as well. Damian Warner was announced as the Canadian Athlete of the Year earlier this afternoon. He will join us and get his take on that discussion, get his take on how great his 2021 was. He's one of the few people that really had an incredible 2021, Damian Warner. Winning the decathlon and setting a new Olympic record for points, the flag bearer to closing ceremonies. And now the Canadian Athlete of the Year. So Damian Warner will join us. Kurt Warner on the new movie coming out about his life in a couple of hours.
I also have some information that Carlo Koliakovo relayed to me privately in person last night.
Wow.
Is this about the mystery pick? And
you
everything
know
that
it's
happened?
About the mystery pick.
And bang! Got to stop playing that, man.
I saw that
it gives
online.
Me a... I freak every time I hear that. Like, it honestly...
Bang! I have a new hatred for it because of whose voice it is. But this guy was down there last night, and he pulled me aside and told me something that happened that completely supports my argument. Okay?
All
completely
right.
supports my argument.
I need
argument
to hear this
why
because
it wasn't,
I was sent a bunch of messages going, this has gone sideways. You need to figure out what the hell's going on in the show. And, like, I'm a huge proponent of chocolate-covered almonds, too. So I don't know what's going on with that conversation,
because I've beauty on that. That was...
like, I literally have some right here. So I'm like... I wasn't sure to eat them or
well,
not
watch
because
yourself.
I don't know
oh,
what's
going to
argue.
My
we'll take a break. We'll take a break and we'll let you know what happened with the almonds.
All right. So Damian All Warner, right. Kurt Warner, the Lou Brown Awards in just over an hour, and Ray Ferraro's coming up too. Ray's in town. He's calling the game tomorrow night. He called it last night. Ray will join us at 5:05. Noodles is back with the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, and Brian Hayes. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, Damian Warner will join us here in just a moment. Canadian Athlete of the Year, decathlete, winning the Olympic gold medal, setting a new Olympic record for points in the decathlon. And I hope he's just let himself go for a while. Like, he's the epitome of an athlete. The guy's in just remarkable shape. He can do everything. Wouldn't it be great if he came on and he said, this was awesome, just won this award, and I'm just a mess. Like, I haven't been in the gym since I got back from Tokyo.
I'm Hasselhoff at Taco Bell right now.
Right. Just absolutely demolishing awful food. And playing darts, maybe a little pool, a little snooker.
Wow.
That'd Ripping darts.
People have been writing to me the name of that establishment right on. It's on Eglinton.
Mm-hmm.
Should I say it or not?
Yeah, give it a little shout out. Why not?
Mick Murphy's Irish Pub.
You think? Is it necessary?
Eglinton east of Mount Pleasant. Irish to the core. That's what Happy Cap wrote. So.
Is it necessary to have Irish Pub after McMurphy's?
I think you just can put the McMurphy's in like Irish lettering out front.
Either way, that place is gritty.
I hope it's still standing, man. I've been in there a few times, and I've been to that Gabby's a bunch of times. And
Tooth Fairy likes Gabby's.
The Tooth Fairy likes Gabby's. Yeah. Brian Hayes in his 20s was a fan. Brian Hayes in his teens was a huge fan of Gabby's. Yeah. There was a Gabby's right at the end of my street growing up, and it was spectacular.
At what age did you get in there at the first time? 14?
I don't want to say because, you know.
Dude, Gabby's younger than 14?
No, I wouldn't have been younger than 14, but there were some there were some ID issues, I guess, that somehow you'd skirt.
See, you were a Toronto kid. Toronto kids had, like, access to IDs. Like, King City kids were, like, we were out in a farm. We're, like, how the hell do you get a fake ID? You had to find somebody that looked like you.
Didn't you have
Toronto kids have, like, back alleys where you could just go and give a guy $100 and you get a fake ID.
Oh, all the
ID.
Time. Yeah, you'd find someone who just turned 19 and they'd sell you their G1 because they'd get their G2 or their G, and you'd give them $100 or whatever, and sometimes it just wasn't even close.
Yeah,
I remember my buddy and I, we went downtown. It was a place like down at like Young and Wellesley, or right around Young and Dundas probably, that would sell, you know, fake IDs. But it was like, it wasn't provincial IDs. It was like Canada, state. My best friend, he got a Wisconsin ID claiming he was 21.
Yeah. McLovin, Hawaii.
And here's the best part. The guy screwed up and the gender was female instead of male.
Come on, dude.
Worked. He got in everywhere with that thing. It was so flimsy. It was so fake. A 21-year-old from Wisconsin. He was 16 from Toronto.
Wow.
And somehow just got in everywhere, man. This thing was
flawless. Needed a card with your face. You needed a card with a face on it. The bouncers didn't even look back then.
Back then,
they didn't even look.
They didn't care. No. There were no cameras. There was no any of that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
But my guess would be Damian Warner's still in shape. I would guess he probably still goes to the gym. I want him to be out of shape. I don't know why. It's so selfish.
Naturally.
Because he's such a great athlete. He's such a remarkable athlete. I want him to be a little bit more like us and basically be out of shape. But he is the Canadian Athlete of the Year. It was announced earlier this afternoon. He won the gold medal in the decathlon at the Tokyo Olympics, the flag bearer for the closing ceremonies. Here is Damian Warner. How you doing, Damian?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for having me.
Yes. Are you in shape? I know that's a ridiculous question to ask you, but are you still hitting the gym daily or what?
No, I did a workout earlier today, and I tell you what, I don't feel like I'm in shape. So
okay.
But we're getting there.
Okay, we'll take it. Yeah, because, I mean, you had such a phenomenal year. Obviously, the Olympic Games, you set a new Olympic record for points in the decathlon, and today it's announced you're the Canadian Athlete of the Year. How did you respond when you heard the news?
Yeah, it's like, I feel like at this point, I don't know what to say anymore. It's been an incredible year for me. We set out to go to the Olympics and to perform at our best, and we were able to do that. And then since then, there's just been so many other awards and accolades that have came along with it. And I'm extremely grateful for it. It's been an incredible honor. And I know that as I get older and I look back on this time now, it's gonna mean so much to me. So it's really special.
Be honest. Did you like think it was a lock? You're winning, no problems. You were confident. What was your kind of thought process going into this?
Into Tokyo?
Winning today.
Yeah, the Canadian Athlete of the Year.
I mean, I think it's like, I feel sorry for all the people that had to make a vote because I feel like it could have been a coin flip, you know, like, yeah. I think there was 24, 28 athletes that were in the running, and you can go through their achievements and see what they accomplished this past year. And I think it could have went to anybody, and I think that's why it feels so weird to accept an award like this, because you know it could have went to so many of these other people. But like I was saying, I'm really grateful for it, and it's an honor, and it's something that I don't take too lightly.
With Damian Warner announced as the Canadian Athlete of the Year earlier this afternoon, won gold medal, the decathlon in the Tokyo Games, the first Canadian male to ever do that, and he set an Olympic record for points. At what point did that come into focus for you? Like, at what point of the event was it, once you hit the seventh event, the eighth, the ninth, where you said, you know what, the record's in reach here, and if I can put together a performance specifically with the 1500, the final event, I'm going to break an Olympic record here.
Yeah, I think for me it was after the pole vault. For people that know me and my story in the sport, pole vault's kind of been like the thorn in my side for the longest time. And over the pandemic and in the lockdown, we worked really hard on pole vault to get it to a certain point. And after I tied my personal best, we had a little gap before the final two events. And I turned to my coach and I was like, let's win a gold medal today. And then we talked about getting that Olympic record and scoring over 9,000 points. And yeah, it was kind of after the pole vault when I knew it was a possibility. It's a crazy thing.
So crazy. And I remember watching it live when everyone, all the athletes were being announced for the 1500 meter, and you came out and you looked very relaxed before the final event. Was that true? Is that an honest assessment, or were you kind of sheltering some sort of nerves? I mean, how are you feeling about going into that final event, kind of understanding at that point the gold was pretty much solidified, you had a chance at an Olympic record, but you look very relaxed watching you on TV?
Yeah, it's funny because people always ask me if I get nervous because they think I look fairly calm, and I usually am like covering it up pretty well because I'm so nervous inside. But going into that 1500, I had no nerves. And I started to like panic a little bit because I was like, what's going on? You know, like, this is the most important moment of your life in your sporting career, and you don't have any nerves. Something's off. We had some goals that I needed to target for each lap of the 400 meters just so I could stay on pace for that record. And I think I was a little bit too relaxed because I was behind all those pacings. And I came around to the bell lap and I looked at the scoreboard and I saw the time, and I realized that I was like significantly behind the pace. And I was like, okay, now I need to pick it up. And that's where, like, all the adrenaline and all the nerves started to kick in and gave me enough energy to make that final push.
We're chatting with Damian Warner again, Canadian Athlete of the Year, decathlon gold medalist at the Tokyo Games. And you referenced when COVID hit, it gave you an opportunity, more time, I guess, to prepare for the Games. Now, that would apply to all the other athletes as well. But I'm assuming that was beneficial for you, the idea that you weren't there technically in 2020. You had to wait a year. But I'm sure some things were taken away from you due to COVID. You would have had some sort of restrictions in terms of getting in the gym and preparing for the Games. So how do you look back on that extra year of preparation, and how much help was it? And in ways, how much of a challenge was it waiting an extra year?
Yeah, there were certainly some challenges, and there were certainly a lot of good things. You know, I did a little panel not too long ago with Bev Priestner, the women's national soccer coach, and she said something that was really interesting to me, and that was, people keep saying like what COVID has taken away from them, but I think it's important to ask like what COVID has given us. And it, for me, it gave me the opportunity to start from scratch and to learn some things in the pole vault that has been giving me problems over the years. And I think if I didn't have that year and that time, I probably would have been expecting those same results. So it certainly helped me. At times it was definitely challenging, but at the same time, I think that this year was a positive.
Obviously, you know, having so much success and being so good at all the events, are there any, like, I guess I say this respectfully, any fails that you like come to mind where you're like, holy smokes, like I threw the javelin, like not the wrong way, but things went south or the discus went flying out of my hand, you know, something slipped. Do you have any of those that you could share where you're like, man, something went wrong and you had to recover off of it?
Yeah. So it's one of those things where after the pole vault, like I was saying, things were going pretty good. I told my coach, like, let's go back and win a gold medal. And then we had to go back to the village for about 6 hours. And you have to try to sleep, but there's so many nerves and so many thoughts that are just racing through your head. But we had to come back and throw the javelin. And for some reason, like I wrote down the measurements that I needed for the javelin wrong in my book. And then I put the wrong mark out and I kept trying to do my approach and it kept feeling off over and over and over again. And time was running out and I was just like in full panic and I kept changing things and it wasn't working. And I went to my coach and I was like, what's wrong? He's like, everything. And I was just like, so where do you go from there? And we just made a couple of adjustments. And at that point in time, you can't help but think is like, okay, is this guy going to throw really far and kind of overtake you? And then all this was for naught. But luckily we pulled it together at the last moment. And I think those are the things that the TV doesn't necessarily see, because once the competition started, I threw just under my personal best. So we kind of figured it out. But there was definitely some moments of panic throughout that decathlon that people didn't see.
With Damian Warner, so one thing that sticks out in terms of the adjustment of schedule based on COVID is it's a three-year interval as opposed to a four-year interval for the next Summer Games, where they're going to Paris in 2024. Do you have aspirations of being there, competing again? What is your plan moving on between now and in 2024?
Yeah, for sure. So I'll definitely be back there in Paris 2024. I think it would be really awesome to defend my title. But when we first started training for this decathlon thing, we set some pretty lofty goals for ourselves. And one of those was to become an Olympic gold medalist. One was become a world champion. And another one was to be the world record holder in the decathlon. So there's still some things for me to chase. And I still have some pretty big goals. So we're going to be working on those over the next couple of years.
Well, we'll be supporting you and following you all the way. And you just chalk one more achievement up. The Canadian Athlete of the Year was announced earlier today. Just an incredible year for you, Damian. And the whole country obviously was supporting you the whole way, and it was just an incredible ride, and we appreciate that you allowed us all to be a part of it. And congrats on the announcement today, and we'll do this again down the road. Thank you for this.
Awesome. I appreciate that, and thanks for having me on, guys. Take care.
You got it. There he is, Damian Warner. Canadian Athlete of the Year. Stud.
Slash perfect person, it seems.
He
like.
Is.
Doesn't swear, doesn't care about us.
Good-looking dude. Yeah.
Eating chocolate almonds. Perfect.
No, he's not doing what we're doing.
He's
not
at
McMurphy's.
Look at this. Chocolate almonds right here. Yeah.
So, Noodles, here's what happened, okay? This is a tough segue to go from one of the greatest athletes of all time into watching your child's hockey game.
Uh-huh.
So what would you do if you were at your kid's sporting event and you didn't know me and I wheeled up beside you and sat down? We were kind of conversing. And I just said, can I have a couple of your almonds? Would that be offside to you?
I don't know if that's like a sharing scenario. You know what
no,
I mean?
It's not.
Like, I don't
it's
think
not.
It's like, it's like asking for somebody for a bite of their sandwich. Like, you
no,
don't,
it isn't.
I just
dude.
Don't think you do that. Like, well, I don't
what
think
if
you'd
I,
be like,
listen,
hey,
listen,
right?
Please, please. What if I grabbed and just shook a couple into my hand, not touching the majority of them? A little shake and a couple come out for me.
First of all, I think it has to be offered to you. I don't think you ask anybody, like, hey, can I have some of your chips or can I have a bite
That's
of your
what
pizza?
Happened. I was eyeballing. I was never offered, and I broke down, and I grabbed them. But when I grabbed them, they were empty, and I gave it the shake, and I was like, come on, man.
It's such a breach of conduct
it
in
is.
Society. Like, it just, it's
somebody
it's
else's
worthy,
property. Like,
yeah,
it is.
It's worthy of a citizen's arrest. Like, you honestly, you should be in custody somewhere. You should be at the Don Jail, and I would come in as a character witness against you.
Yeah.
To keep you locked up because it's gutless, and I think about it, I'm outraged by the idea of you taking
weird
this
thing.
Guy's chocolate almonds.
I didn't ultimately. There was
but
none
you
in
wanted
there.
To, and you tried to in the end. That's
maybe
the
he laid a Intent. Trap for you. Maybe he was like, this guy has been eyeing him up. He put the rest in his pocket, left the empty bag there, and then you
Noodles,
reached in
I was
for it.
So fired up about these. He even threw this one at me. I went through the drive-thru, and there was options. One pack for $1, three, and he's like, I went for the three pack. And I was going to say to him, let's go to the car and get the other pack. Let's get partying here. But I don't think he would have been.
I just don't.
I know.
I never had that desire to go. Like, if somebody's eating something when you come up, like, chances are they'll put it to the side and continue the conversation. And then when you dust off, they start eating again. Like, that's etiquette. But, like, I don't understand. Like, if I'm eating popcorn, people don't stick their grubby, gross hands
no.
in my popcorn. Like,
no.
it's just, there's lines where it's like, that's not even, It doesn't cross your mind to go, can I have some? And I think chocolate covered almonds, or I've got these milk chocolate jujubes. Is that what they're called?
Yeah.
Jujubes? Yeah. Like I love them.
But popcorn's a perfect example, and I think they're in the same family. If he was holding a bag of popcorn, you wouldn't just stick your hand in there and grab the popcorn.
No.
You wouldn't do that.
Dude, I have a way of kind of getting people involved in the combo, and as they're diving deep in, like, you just start jibber-jabbering about, like, the Leafs, you get them sucked in, and then all of a sudden, like, while they're trapped, you go in for the grab.
Well, you know what I'm talking about?
I can see it, because it's actually a sign, it's a talent. Because then all of a sudden the guy realizes halfway through, he's like, oh, this guy's just he's just eating the popcorn now.
Because you're watching hockey drills, so you could just lighten the mood with something like,
I scored
41 goals in the NHL, we never did these kind of drills. Then you go in.
Dip.
Yeah. Yes.
And then he'd be like, oh, wow, you scored 41 goals. And I'll be like, yeah, another dig in. I did score 41.
Right.
I just thought like, it was what, maybe
where did you score the 40th? And I'd dig in again, Madison Square
Meanwhile,
Garden.
Meanwhile, your mouth is full the whole time. Yeah, Madison Square Garden.
I think it was like an alumni coat flex. That's what I was like. Is this guy wearing his alumni coat at the arena? And be like, yeah, I was with the Leafs. But, like, I don't understand the context of, like, did you ask or you were just eyeing them up and then he got up and went to the bathroom and you reached over? Like, that's – I still think it's a breach of – societal contract.
Absolutely, it is. It's an unwritten code. Really... It's illegal, and there's statute of limitations. I mean, every possible phrase I can throw out.
Okay, you know what? Next time I see him, I'm gonna ask him flat out. I'm gonna say, I was sitting beside you last Sunday.
Yeah.
If I grabbed the almonds and there was some in there and had some, would you have been offended?
But what's he gonna say? Like, it's so awkward that you're gonna bring that up. You got to do it, but I would almost reverse it. Bring your own almonds next time and see what he does. See if you can put him in the opposite spot.
Dude, I'm not letting him touch the almonds if I bring them next time. He didn't give me any,
he didn't
go to the car to get the new pack.
That's right.
But I don't know how the almonds became such a focus between you and this gentleman. Like wasn't there other
noodles?
Like,
for
you had
some
nothing
reason,
else
I told
to talk
Hayes
about.
Yesterday, I told Hayes yesterday. I had a coffee, the rink was cold, and I had a growl on, and for some reason, these chocolate almonds just got my attention, and I really, really was eyeballing them. I don't know. I think a chocolate almond's a great snack.
Yeah. It's a magnet, man. I'm with you. If there's chocolate almonds around me in my orbit, it's something I'm focused on. I understand where you're coming from, but I'm not willing to break a social code or put myself or other people that I don't really know in a very awkward scenario where it's like, Jeff O'Neill, he had his alumni jacket on. He was eating my chocolate almonds and talking about scoring 41 like I care. Like, can you imagine if this guy was relaying the conversation to his buddy?
Yeah. All of a sudden he ate six of them.
Like, yeah, this fat ass just sat beside me and he was just gooning my chocolate almonds, making up stories about scoring in the NHL, and by the time it was over, I had no chocolate almonds left.
Right. It's like a trap. Ray Ferraro in 20 minutes. The Lou Brown Awards at 5:30. So Ray and Lou Brown coming up in hour two. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right. Ray Ferraro will join us in about 15 minutes. The Lou Brown Awards, the second annual Lou Brown Awards at 5:30. Kurt Warner at 6:30. Tiger Woods back in action next week at the PNC.
Now, who called it? Who called it? Like, one of you guys called it and said he's playing with his son.
Oh, yeah. I think we were both kind of on that wavelength. Once he sent the message out of him hitting the 8-iron, and then he shows up at the Bahamas and he was hitting balls every single day. And I think, you made the point that it was probably his kid Charlie that was really leaning on him, like, I want to do it. Can we do it? And Tiger will be out there with a car till he may not hit a driver on a par 4 or par 5 the whole weekend.
Well, last year he used all the kids' drives because he had such an advantage from a forward tee, and he's got a great swing and he hits it really good. So Tiger's literally got to go out there and wedge and putt. But I watched this show on the Golf Channel called Golf Today. They were talking about this father-son tourney because the news broke while the show was – it was like the Masters – They were going live to the tournament. It's a father-son tournament, and the organizer or like the general manager of the tournament was like, yeah, we got, you know, the requests went through the roof today media-wise. I was like,
I guess.
It's the
this guy has turned like an event where like 10 people walk around. It'll be a packed house. Like, it'll be redonkulous.
Yeah, the PNC is now the fifth major because yes. Tiger's playing on it. And right. It'll be nonstop Tiger Woods. I was watching the same show. It was hilarious because they had a couple of built-in interviews that they had to do, and you could tell they were furious. They're like, Tiger, Tiger, Tiger. All right, here we go. Let's talk to this person. Okay, thank you very much.
This golf course architect. And the guy was like, yeah, you know, I drive a bulldozer. And then they're like, back to Tiger Woods.
Back to Tiger Woods. You could tell the producer was like, I can't believe we agreed to this. Tiger, we get breaking news with Tiger and he's going to play. And, they go to Todd Lewis as if Todd Lewis knows something about the golf course and the layout and how it could affect Tiger. It's just going to be nonstop. But I don't know if this changes the projection of him playing at Augusta or playing at the Players or playing at Bay Hill or wherever, but, you know, he's comfortable enough with getting out there and swinging, and he's going to play. You know, he's going to play next week, and it'll be fun to see Tiger Woods, and it has not even been a calendar year since the car crash, which is pretty incredible when you put that into perspective. So we'll get back into this later this hour. Back into the Leaf win last night. The Leafs have Tampa in town tomorrow. The Raptors have Oklahoma City in town tonight. We'll tee that up. Ray Ferraro and the Lou Brown Awards in hour two. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
This hour of the Overdrive podcast was brought to you by Felix. Erectile dysfunction treatment online. Felix can connect you to a doctor to assess ED and, if applicable, deliver treatment to your door. Visit felix.ca.